welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man that is standing outside of the sunroof of an Audi on a French highway aiming a rocket launcher at a Russian vehicle. It's Norbert Morvan.
What's the call out of Boathouse at Hereford?
I just ambushed you into a cup of coffee.
You know what I'm saying? This is the last good De Niro movie, ladies and gentlemen. Period. Full stop.
Well, it's a waste of coffee, but I get it. And also, Norbert, I could watch Sean Bean and De Niro eat sandwiches for hours.
There were so many scenes of characters just staring at the camera or twiddling their thumbs.
I love
or
it.
Or just wistfully looking at a newspaper. Just moments of silence that balance the action, the intrigue, the deceit. The twists, you know, so good. And
I interrupted you.
I was going to say, and Bean and De Niro, you know, De Niro just sees Bean's character as just this guy. He wants to fit in, you know. So what do you use? Oh, so here's my plan. Oh, I know what I'm doing. I'm a really good mercenary. No, you're not.
Nope.
De Niro's from the Lower East Side, bruh. We know what time it is. We calling you out on your BS.
So just line up on either side of each other and then shoot each other.
What's the call out of Boathouse at Hereford?
Oh, gosh.
I'm not going in there. You back me up.
We're getting paid to do it. And I like how Vincent says, well, I'm getting paid to go in there. He's like, what did De Niro say? There's two rules. If you don't trust something, then you probably shouldn't do it.
That's right.
And then the other ones I don't remember.
Well, the other one was also, I want to save my skin. It covers my body.
Oh, man. And also, so I was watching the car chase, and Megan was coming in, and she just started watching the car chase and sat down. The ending one just went, whoa.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I watched
There's
a...
no...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, there's no CGI.
Mm-mm.
There's no incredible physics where the runway is actually 24 miles long while you're chasing the airplane. So how long is it? It's real time stunt work. It's amazing.
Oh, and the stunt coordinator, Jean-Claude Lanier, he was a former Formula One driver. Lanier, I'm sorry if I'm butchering that name. My apologies. But he's a real F1 driver. And they originally had a stunt crew for this movie. They fired him a few days before they started. Frankenheimer called Jean-Claude and was like, hey, can you work for me? He's like, hell yeah, because he loved Le Mans. And this amazing driver who had been a driver for Roger Moore twice before, just a bit on the Bond movies, huge guy, came out and did this. And just watching this, right? During the scene where they're going through oncoming traffic, they were going 75 and those cars were going 35 and they had professional drivers in all of them. And it's just, they had to hold their line, Norbert. They like hold steady. These guys, it's a marvel. So when I started working in the Atlanta film industry, I became a guy who got known to work cars. So I worked a lot of movies where you get people in cars and you get them driving. In Atlanta, we had what you call precision drivers. They had to take a weekend course on how to do good driving. And then you get the certificate and you can get better jobs on film sets. These were not precision drivers. These were race car drivers. And every single one of these vehicles flying at each other in Paris on a Sunday, they only had the road for 5 hours, which is insane because, you know, in this movie, Frankenheimer, they loved him so much that the police chief of Paris just said, do whatever you want. And normally they don't allow people to shoot guns, like fake squib guns on streets.
Right.
And they all said, do what you want. Because you got De Niro, you got Jean Reno, who was really big at the time. So you have... Like, France just loosened every single restriction they had to these guys. And they had some cracking car chases. Just beautiful car chases. And this is one random thing. I don't know. I don't think I've ever told you this, Norbert, but Sean Bean, right? Patriot Games. For some reason, Patriot Games was a big movie of mine as a kid. Just watching that, I loved it. Then I loved GoldenEye. I thought, I like 006 more than I like 007. He was calling
For
Bond.
England, James. Yeah, absolutely.
He was calling Bond on his crap, and I thought he was like this really cool, like physical villain. And then he went and did Ronin, and that scene with the coffee cup has always shook me. It was just this guy who was in over his head, out of his league, full of bluster.
Yep.
I love that. And then he did Fellowship of the Ring when I was working in a movie theater, and I would close the theater, so I had to stay late, which means I had to watch the last hour of Fellowship Ring for about 6 months, which is great.
It is.
But this, I don't know. Sean Bean, I'm just so glad we're talking about this, because I've just watched those four movies were some of the most I watched in that time period. And I don't know what it is. Answer me this, Norbert. What is it about Sam Robert De Niro's Shakedown that is just so cool of Spence? Like, what is it about that that makes it such neat scene?
It's because Spence is the guy where you go out to a bar, you know, you've got a group of friends and you're all going out to the bar, and then you all might talk about, you know, ex-girlfriends or ex-relationships or something like that. And Spence is just the guy who's clearly lying about everything that he's ever done with a woman, about every way he's ever picked somebody up, quote unquote. You know, Spence is talking about the incredible one night stand, the three way that he had with two girls that day on spring break. And everybody's just giving him the side eye, like, we don't believe you. You need more people, Spence. And this is why it works so well, because he almost gets them murdered by going into an enclosed space with plenty of dark corners to hide. Oh, by the way, and it's a perfect place to just be sniped from 47 different directions. And yet, oh, I was in the Royal Marines. No, you, dude, really? Really? How? Just, no. And ironically, this is the one movie where Sean Bean doesn't die, and yet he's the least Sean Bean character ever. The least confident Sean Bean character ever.
When Deirdre says, I hired a bunch of lames in her Northern Irish accent, she was talking about him, nobody else. The other guys were good.
Yeah, the other guys were on it, man. You know, Larry was the Fast and the Furious before Larry's it even happened, bomb. You know?
I love Larry.
Larry just looks like, you know, he eats roast beef sandwich, and when the mayonnaise falls on his pants, he doesn't even stop to wipe it off. He just takes another bite, man. That's Larry.
Oh, I love it.
He does yeoman's work. Yeah, I need nitrous, and it's got to be custom made, you know? He needs too fast, too Larry, baby.
And when they ask him, did you get cars? How will they work? They'll work fine.
Yeah. I need something with a little push, you know? It's not going to do it.
When he gets his throat slit, I don't know why he doesn't just get shot, because... I mean, that's a brutal throat slit that he gets dropped on him by Seamus.
Yeah, I mean,
Seamus is a cockroach in this movie, man.
Seamus is one of the worst human beings ever. It's like, oh, Deirdre, I gave you a job. Why didn't you do it, Deirdre? Oh, Larry, is it?
Oh, yeah. And she says, why'd you have to kill Larry? Oh.
It's my favorite line in the whole movie. Why'd you have to kill Larry? Oh, Larry, is it? I love the accents, and he's just such a jerk. Oh, we'll get the case, won't we, Gregor? We'll get the case.
And I love that the villains in this movie, they get away by throwing innocent people in front of other people. It's very refreshing to watch as they have Stellan Skarsgård after Stellan. Okay, the plot of Ronin is a bunch of freelance mercenaries are hired to steal a case. Things go wrong, and then things go wrong again. There's some beautiful car chases, and then it ends with Jean Reno and De Niro having a coffee that I never wanted to end, because I love watching them drink coffee. And then supposedly De Niro goes back to the CIA.
Right.
Right.
Twist!
And so, but there's moments in this movie that I just love. It's just watching the Stellan Skarsgård throw those people and go, oh, he's going to kill me!
Yeah. You got to understand that if you're a mercenary, okay, you've already killed people you don't know for gobs of money. Whatever part of you that used to look at a sunset and think this is beautiful, that kid is dead. You know, you have no more innocence. You don't look at snowflakes and try to compare them anymore. You're not the person who dips his toes into the lake just to feel the rushing water. No, man, you're a murderer.
You are not looking at plastic bags and finding beauty in them.
Exactly. So Gregor meets the guy in the car and just takes him to a playground.
Oh, I love that scene. Oh!
And just takes him to a playground and pulls out the most Decepticon-looking gun with a silencer on it. And really takes the time to line up what has to be, an 8-year-old girl climbing on playground equipment? And the, even the evil friend in the car is like, Jesus Christ, Gregor, what are you doing here, man? Yeah. And then Gregor just, I was willing to splatter her brains all over the playground, and I don't even know her. I don't like you. Imagine what I would do to you. It's just like, I believe you. He's just a sociopath.
And he 100%. Kills him with the best trick ever. Hey, it's in the back, and then he hits the gas, and then just plop.
Oh, yeah. Yo, man, like he said, man, the reflexes, they die hard.
Oh, I love it. He catches the coffee cup.
Mm-hmm.
There was a behind-the-scenes video where Stellan Skarsgård's talking about this, and also Frankenheimer and Rennie Harlan. They didn't give him much to do in 98, 99 in these movies, but each Rennie Harlan in Deep Blue Sea and Frankenheimer and Ronin, they just said, he takes two words and makes an entire fleshed out amazing character with it and cares so much. And
100%.
Skarsgård played this on a behind the scenes video. I was watching it. It's on YouTube. You can check it out. But he says, I imagine I was a guy who had a family, but I worked too much and then they all left me. And then I became suicidal. And then I just started becoming freelance and I killed people. I don't really care about living or killing. So he's just lost every... Yeah, he looks at sunsets and he's like, I hate you. Like, he probably shoots a bullet at the sun. Like, magic hour, more like, I don't care. So it's... I don't know. I dig it. It's such a neat aspect of the character.
100%. 100%. He absolutely has a basement with a freezer full of squirrel meat and just animal pelts, you know?
That scene where Sam tackles Gregor, when De Niro tackles Skarsgård over the rails, did you know that wasn't supposed to happen? And the stuntman just got a little too vigorous. They both flipped over the metal railings.
And Frankenheimer's like, yeah, let's keep that.
And that scene where they drove into the cafe where they hit people, they did that. So the cool stunt coordinator is just sitting there going, yeah, so we're going to drive them in there. We just got to make sure that people's feet aren't on the ground. Joe Dunn said this. He's like, yeah, they can't be static. So when the cars come in, if you watch it again, all the stunt people jump so that if they really get whapped by a car, they're not static on the ground.
Oh, Jesus.
So they're hitting people with cars. They're flipping over things. Oh, that scene where the final chase where the car flips and then goes off into the construction site.
Yeah,
the car
amazing.
Flipped, but then it rolled and it went back on its wheels and it wasn't supposed to. So then they were thinking about maybe doing that again. They're like, well, maybe we should reflip it. And Frankenheimer's like, nah, I can do that in the edit. And that reminded me of this time I was on a movie. I guess I don't want to say the name. I was working on a movie and I did the second unit of it. So we did all the stunts. And there was a scene where this bus is supposed to flip. This is crazy. So, okay. So we get this massive wedge, Norbert. We're talking a welded school bus is going to hit this wedge and flip. It is a metal wedge that just looks, it's triangular shaped, maybe like a 45 degree angle, I would say. Maybe like 45 degrees, maybe a little less. And the bus is supposed to hit it on one side, then flip. And this bus is flying down the highway. It hits the ramp, but the guy misjudged it and hit it in the middle. And this bus comes careening towards our set of trucks. And we had everybody backed up. Like, they were way back. But then the guy had the wherewithal to just drive it into a ditch. And so he destroyed a bus. And so we had to come back the next night with another bus to flip it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Wow. That just reminded me of the gag from Ronin where the driver was too good and it went back. So the car flipped, went back on its tires, and the guy just drove it back.
It's insane.
Yeah. The drivers that they had in this, they had Formula One drivers. They had Le Mans drivers. They just had the most nutty crew. Like, when they blew up that car, there was a guy in that car.
No.
With the rocket launcher. There was a guy in that car, and he hit the button to flip it.
That's insane, dude. Wow. I guess that old Lee Majors show, The Fall Guy, you know, where he was a stuntman who would also fight crime as a side gig to make up money that he wasn't getting as a stuntman. I guess that was accurate, because he would do crazy stuff like that too, man.
Oh, man.
Sit in the car while it's blowing up. Why not? I'm a stuntman. I'm the Fall Guy. Weeknights at 8.
And you know what's funny? About a month ago when you pitched this movie, you said it'll just be you and I talking about how they don't make them anymore.
But they don't make movies like this anymore.
But I shit you not, Norbert. I just sat there going, they don't do this anymore.
None of it. They really don't.
And I don't want to be that old fogey, right? But I just kept saying it. And every time I said it, I laughed because I remember you saying that. I'm like,
that's right.
Oh, man.
No.
They don't even tell you really the plot. Remember Sam? Right. He's like, hey, so Deirdre, what are we getting? I'll tell you later. What kind of cars they got? I'll tell you later. How many people they got? I'll tell you later.
What's in the case? She just looks at him. So anyway, it's brilliant. Yeah, because the movie is pushed by these awesome actors. They don't even say a lot. There's no annoying extra exposition. They're not explaining to you what happened in the previous scene. They just, okay, so anyway, this is what we're doing next. That just went tits up. Okay, we're doing this now. All right? You know? Yep. And like you say, you know, Skarsgård doesn't say much, but you know he's a sociopath as soon as he catches that cup and just is staring mm-hmm. at nothing. He's not looking at De Niro. You know he's not looking at De Niro, even though he's talking to him. Vincent, I'll search out, you know? Mm-hmm. Vincent, I'll search out. He knows where everything is in Paris for some reason, you know? Mm-hmm. And after the initial exchange of the money for the guns goes wrong, Vincent's calm, cool, collected, and sitting in the car, you know? Why do you do this job, Sam? Eh, you know, friend, I need the money. And then Vincent just taps his heart, and he says, this is money. You see, this is money. Like, Vincent is just trying to be friends, you know? Mm-hmm. Because really, the case is just the friends that we made along the way.
It is. They become, you know? they become BFFs, though, man. I'm telling you.
They do. Yeah, they absolutely do, you know?
Because they're both perfect for each other, because Jean Reno's is just the nicest dude, but he's also a great gunfighter and driver, and he's loyal, and he can find anything. Yeah. And he knows where doctors are. And then Sam is just extremely capable. I mean, he is just...
This is... I tell you this, and it is not hyperbole. Fix my mouth.
It's not what?
And this is not hyperbole. hairball. I tell you this, and this is not hyperbole. This is the last good, quote-unquote, De Niro movie. That's understand?
That's a wild... what about... I don't want to do it. What about the...
Here it is.
Analyze This is funny.
Okay. But is Analyze This a De Niro movie?
No. What about the long one on Netflix? Irishman.
Even The Irishman. That's just basically the conclusion to what? Goodfellas?
Pretty much.
It's still not a De Niro movie. And he's not... kicking ass and taking names, as the kids would say.
Oh, so you're saying like a De Niro movie.
This is the last good De Niro movie. Look at 97. 97, De Niro is in three movies. Copland.
Jackie Brown. Copland.
And Wag the Dog.
Jackie Brown! Wag the Dog!
Exactly. Exactly.
What a run!
Exactly. Okay?
I just got very excited because I love all these movies.
Yeah. 98, he's in Ronin. He's in Great Expectations, and then he's the narrator for a Lenny Bruce documentary. After 98, he's in comedies, or he's an old man fish out of water, ..
Yeah.
You know?
It changed. 2000,
yeah. 2000, he makes The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, which, look, I don't know.
I would. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I loved him in Stardust. I thought he had a lot of warmth to him in Silver Linings Playbook, but it's no Ronin or... any of that, I would say. Oh, wait, I have a question. 2001, Norbert.
Okay.
You see that De Niro, Brando, and Norton are in a movie. How'd you feel about the score?
The score is, you sit there, and it's a movie that unfolds. It's slow. It's a heist pick. The score is, to me, the story that Chevy Chase's character was writing in that movie Funny Farm, The Perfect Crime. That's the story that he was writing. That he keeps trying to beat his wife over the head with. This is going to be the best book ever. That book ended up being the score.
I like it.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I bought the poster for it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing.
I bought it on DVD. I was like,
Quick question for you, too. During the scene where Deirdre and De Niro are drinking coffee at the hotel waiting for the Russians to leave the hotel, did you notice the editing? That when they were going in there?
Break it down.
Okay, so Frankenheimer was talking about how he wanted the editing to be... he didn't want you to know what time it was or how time passes. He wanted you to be disoriented about when and where they were at. So when they walked in, it's Christmas time, and you can see them putting together a tree. And then later on when they're sitting there, they're still working on the tree. They jump cut to maybe 10 minutes from there. And then they cut another 20 minutes, and the tree is done. So he wanted to subliminally... hyperbole... the thing so that you don't he never shows you outright, but in maybe somewhere in the back of your head you're picking up how time is moving, But there's a lot of interesting cuts where they'll be working on a tree, then they're done with the tree. And he does it all in the background to just really disorient you and show you the way he's editing. It's a really neat trick in editing in this film. And it's worth watching again just to notice how time passes in this film, because it's almost not dreamlike to a certain extent, but it's very amorphous. And it just
it's Larry. Larry, is it?
I just love it. It's very – I just love how time passes in this movie. And he did that on purpose to throw you off and never make you comfortable. And I think that was really successful.
I agree with you. I don't know how much time has gone by as they're just there. And then, you know, he manages to even sneak in a, hey, let's hook up in the car moment, you know, because the cops are coming.
And Natasha really nailed that scene. Natasha McElhone? I should have looked that up.
I assume it was McElhone?
Oh, McElhone. There it is. Oh, good job. Yeah, McElhone. Natasha McElhone. And I feel bad because in the behind-the-scenes interviews, she was talking about this film, and she said, this is the first role I've ever had where I get it to be a character who actually moves the plot forward. I'm not the wife of somebody. Or just a secondary thing. And it's still true today. I mean, very much so. But she took this role because she could be somebody who moved the plot. She's the one out driving De Niro in the major, one of the greatest car chases ever put on film. She's out driving him. And you never, it's just kind of cool how that's not, she's just the boss. It's kind of neat how I mean, De Niro does say, he's like, you look pretty good dressed up there. But she's looking miserable. And he's just, oh, be cool. But yeah, I thought her reactions to that, when she just sort of, they had that scene where he kisses her. And then you can see her thinking about it. And she's like, we got nothing better to do.
So yeah, we might as well just do sex in the car. Why not?
Right? She just, but the look on her face, you're like, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
But agency.
I like her a lot in this movie. I also really liked her in Truman Show from the very few scenes she was giving. But her watching the TV, which isn't much of a role, but that it was proved to be really memorable in that.
Right.
But it was cool. Like, I've always dug this character because she's mysterious throughout. She's a survivor as well. Like, she's in the gunfights, like driving the cars. So it's pretty cool that, I don't know, it's just, once again, it's Frankenheimer bringing in really good actors. You have Sean Bean against type. Actually, Sean Bean in Patriot Games had the Northern Irish accent. And then this one he doesn't. But then Natasha, an English woman, then she has Northern Irish accent.
Right.
Actually, Jonathan Pryce had one too. So he's Welsh.
Yes. T.D. Waterhouse guy. That's right.
I don't know. I that was a long way of saying that. I like the character. The stuff she did in this was cool.
What you're saying about Natasha is 100% on point, man. They spend the first 10 minutes in that warehouse trying to take pot shots at her. Because what's this woman doing telling us what to do? Mm-hmm. We're mercenaries. Ha-ha! We don't listen to some chicky-poo. And Sean Bean, he tries to bait her, you know. And so what are we supposed to surmise from that beautiful Irish lilt? And she's like, anything you like. Like, F you, dude. You're not going to tell me what to do. You're going to soon be revealed to be a coward.
Yeah, that little
numbskull.
And she drops the bomb on him, too. Like, you're not going to say anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, this movie, it really doesn't give you much. And it really rewards. Like, this sounds, I'm not talking about like an adult film, but this is a movie made for adults, even though I watched this when I was 16 and loved it. But it's very, it doesn't tell you much. It doesn't give you everything. It features just really excellent car chases. And even though it didn't do well, it made $70 million at the box office. It's only 68% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's 7.3 on IMDb, which is huge. And this is a movie, though, where you go Ronin. And most people our age are like, car chase. Like, we all know it.
And the reason why you say they don't make movies like this anymore is because it's not constantly explaining the plot to you. It's not holding your hand. These are the characters. This is the premise. And begin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a bad actor in the bunch, quite frankly. Just about everybody in here should have won a dozen Oscars and or Golden Globes, quite frankly. And De Niro, you know, he's got his Oscars. You know what I mean?
He's so good in this movie, Norbert. Oh,
yeah. It's the last De Niro movie. It's the last one. The very last one. I promise you.
It blows my mind that this didn't get maybe a best editing, or it got nominated for an MTV Movie Award, best action sequence.
Jesus Christ.
But no, it's, I mean, editing, sound, like the sound in this movie. Frankenheimer was talking about how his sound mixer, sound designer went out and just recorded the same cars driving around, F1 cars. You could close your eyes and listen to these car chases, and it's beautiful. It's, but I guess that's also Frankenheimer. I mean, the dude did Manchurian Candidate and Le Mans. Like, he has quite the filmography. He knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even though people love this movie and it made a decent amount of money, critics liked it, I still feel like it's slightly underrated. Which,
it's very underrated.
It's a weird thing to say, right? Because people love it, but it's also the one good thing keeping it alive is whenever a movie comes out with a car chase, people inevitably do a best car chase list.
Gotta be.
And in the same way as Deep Blue Sea is always on surprise movie deaths, that keeps it alive, and Best Sharks movie. But if you left this car chase out of a top 10, you're being provocative, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You're not 100%. Right. This has to be in the top 10.
Just being a jerk.
Or just being a jerk. Exactly. So I think that's maybe kept it alive.
100%, man. And then look at the movies that were nominated for the Oscars, right? So this movie comes out in 98. So the Best Picture nominees for that year, Shakespeare in Love, which I can't. I've never been able to. Elizabeth, Life is Beautiful, Saving Private Ryan, and The Thin Red Line.
Ooh.
The Thin Red Line.
Just the five-hour movie condensed into two that cast every actor, then dropped them.
Just come on. Come on.
All right, so
we need...
What are we keeping in? What are we keeping in, Norbert? What are we keeping in into this list?
In the list of...
of the five picture? That we just talked about.
Ooh, man. Saving Private Ryan, basically.
Life is Beautiful cleaned up, too. It was like a weird feel-good film. Would you put that in there?
Roberto Benigni.
Yeah,
I've never been that guy. I can't.
What do you think should have been in there instead? So we'll add Ronin. We'll have Saving Private Ryan. Mm-hmm. Halloween H2O. Wait. Oh, Truman Show, right?
Truman Show had Ed Harris as Best Supporting Actor. He was nominated that year.
Truman Show should have been a Best Picture nominee.
100%.
Smoke Signals. I love that movie. Rushmore.
Yeah.
Dark City.
Oh. Dark City, a.k.a. The Matrix for thinkers.
Exactly.
What is the way to Shell Beach?
Oh, yeah. And then they had that later in Requiem for a Dream, too. That totally. Pier. But, yeah, totally. I'm cool with it. I just think it's... Okay, my main problem, though, with it... Not, this isn't my problem, but I think one thing that kept it from mass appeal is how mature it is.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. They don't make movies like that anymore. This is a 1970-style movie. Yeah. It's the 70s movie when the directors had all the power, except it came out in 98. When, what do you call that? Independence Day had come out like a year or two before. So that's what people were into.
Yeah, that's fair.
Ooh, it blowed up good. Ooh.
And this one has amazing explosions.
Oh, man. It's just this the movie is something you can sit down, and if you're it's not one of those, oh, I'm gonna play Words with Friends while the movie's on in the background. You gotta watch what's going on.
Got to. All right, so how about
spy
this?
Stuff, twists. Sorry.
I keep cutting you off, Norbert. I get too excited.
It's the beer. I'm sorry.
All right, so how about this? Take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will talk more. Ronin. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. And Norbert, before we jump back into it, I just want to do something really quick. We're going to have to do, we'll do a quick speed draft of 1998 action movies. So,
excellent.
You can go to MFF, Movies, Films, and Flicks. This might have run by then, but you can just go to Movies, Films, and Flicks. We do tournaments, we do polls. It's a really nice community. I make sure that everyone's pleasant. You won't be like, hey, I love this movie, and someone goes, it sucks. It's a nice place to go. People are friendly. We run fun polls. We have fun tournaments. So come check it out. But 1998 action. So, Norbert, I'll give you first pick.
Okay.
First pick in this. Draft. No rules. Just whatever you want.
All right. However, I'm going to surprise you with the 1998 movie that low-key started the MCU.
No!
Ladies and gentlemen, Blade.
Oh, I love that movie. Oh, it's all over for me. I gotta be smart now. That's a good one.
Blade.
You can't beat that.
And I tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, listening to this podcast and all the ships at sea, the reason why Wesley Snipes was quote unquote an asshole during the making of Trinity is because he put this series together and then they tried to push him out.
Don't get me started, man. I went off. So we did a Blade episode for MFF and I went off on that for about 30 minutes. Hey, I'm going to carry and produce the first two films. And then you're going to bring in Ryan Reynolds and Jessica Biel, who throughout the franchise, I have been really quiet, but I've had good one-liners. I don't say much lines. Totally. I stay in characters. So you know what's a great idea? Pair me up with some motor mouth people who just talk a lot when I don't talk. Yeah. Dumb.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah. If you try to take my child from me, I'm going to do what I have to do to murder you. Period. End of story.
All right. I'm cheating. I'm taking Ronan.
You son of a...
Hey, you had the chance.
Fair enough.
All right, what are you going to take?
Okay, I am going with the unexpected action thriller, The Siege, Denzel Washington, Bruce Willis versus terrorism.
I love it. I'm doing Hard Rain.
Oh, legendary. Legendary, brother. Legendary. All right. I am going to go with another incredibly underrated but excellent action movie / crime drama thriller, The Negotiator.
Oh.
Kevin Spacey, Samuel L. Jackson. You want my blood? Take my blood.
Oh, that's a good one. I had a movie and then I quickly forgot it because, you know me and my memory. I'm just going to pick Deep Rising.
Oh, you son of a... Man. It's like the only Treat Williams movie I like other than the one where he and Joe Piscopo are cop zombies.
Oh, I got to tell you something funny. So they went to start shooting that movie in like 96 before all the Cruise movies were even released, right? So they go to start shooting it. And what happened was they were like, we want to shoot in L.A. They're like, nah, go to Vancouver. So they go to Vancouver to shoot in the tanks up there. The tanks busted. And so all the water flooded out. So then they had to rebuild the tanks, which cost them more money, right? More money. Mm-hmm. So then they had to wait for the tanks to be built. So then the tanks get rebuilt. They finish the movie. But then the VFX company that was supposed to do their VFX, they were out of their league and they couldn't do it. So they held it off for a long time and lied about it. Not lied, but like, yeah, we can do it. And then they couldn't. Then ILM had to come in and completely redo it, which pushed the release back over a year. And by that time, Titanic, all these cruise ship movies were out, and so Deep Rising and Ghost Ship was just this another cruise movie. But it would have been before all them had everything gone right.
Deep Rising and Ghost Ship are two of the greatest guilty pleasure movies ever made.
Okay, so how about this? I just bought Ghost Ship for Megan, and I got her the fancy Scream Factory one with all the commentaries. So Megan and I will watch it, do all that, and we can get you on, and we can talk about it, three of us.
Oh my God, I watch Ghost Ship at least 4 or 5 times a year. I love that movie.
And I just interviewed the writer of that, John Pogue, and the director of Deep Blue Sea 3 for the Deep Blue Sea podcast.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, so you get the fourth pick. What are you going to take?
Okay, so I've taken Blade, I've taken The Siege.
Don't take one I want.
I've taken The Negotiator. That's 3. Let's see. What's going to be number 4? Action movie?
Mm-hmm.
The Replacement Killers, Chow Yun-Fat.
Ooh.
And Mira Sorvino, who should have been in more movies.
She was legit. I'm going to take Enemy of the State.
Oh! Getting jiggy with it.
That's an action thriller with an insane cast.
It is. And the thing that always freaks me out about Enemy of the State, homunculus? The thing that always freaks me out about Enemy of the State is that camera that zoomed in on him and was just listening to his conversations on the roof. In 1998, that was obsolete. There was better technology at the time.
Oof.
That the government owns. So, yeah, get your conspiracy theory on, folks, right there.
What's your last pick?
All right. Since you took Enemy of the State, you son of a... Let's see. I am going to go with... Can you understand the words coming out of my mouth?
Oh, Rush Hour. No. You're taking Rush Hour?
How would you be the love for me? Can you understand the words coming out of my mouth?
Oh, man. I was going to take that. I feel bad for going Hard Rain and Deep Rising, but I had to.
Wait,
The Mask of Zorro, that's the first one, right?
The Mask of Zorro, I think, is the first one. That's correct.
Really? Oh, Mask of Zorro. That's what I'm taking.
No Armageddon?
Nah.
Armageddon was 98.
Nah. Mask of Zorro. Oh. Martin Campbell, he directed Goldeneye, Casino Royale. You got Antonio Banderas, Catherine Zeta-Jones. I don't even know who the villain was. It was just some blonde guy throwing a sword around.
Homunculus? Honorable mention
Hyperbole?
Vampires by John Carpenter? Yeah!
You know what's funny? When I watched Vampires in 98, I was not prepared for how brutal that movie is, man.
That movie's gory as hell. Word.
When he goes into that party and just starts ripping everybody apart, it's so grimy.
Dude.
It's the grimiest movie.
Prostitutes? Ugh. Check. Decapitations? Check. Disemboweling? Why not? Just madness on screen.
And we left out Lethal Weapon 4. There's good old Black Dog. Man, we left out some decent films here. But I'm proud. Oh, Soldier. I might lose my Paul W.S. Anderson, Kurt Russell card, but whatever. I'm fine.
Star Trek Insurrection. Hashtag LLAP.
Oh, man. There's some good pictures. All right, so back to Ronin. This movie, I mean, there's some good villains in this. There are some meat. You know what I like about this? This movie has stakes to it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
People, the skater, Katarina Witt, when she was, she gets just the guy's like, okay, kill her. And then Skarsgård has his person kill her. Larry gets so wiped out. Yeah. And it's just, then you have Gregor shooting at children, murdering people. It's just this world where, and you know what's interesting? Frankenheimer wanted no slow motion gunfights. The gunfights in this, when the bullets hit cars, I'm like, are they shooting at De Niro? But it feels like, it feels real. And it, when the people, when there's collateral damage, the people just drop. He said to me, I love John Woo. I love Paul W. Sanderson. They do a lot of slow motion, and I'm fine with that. But this movie just plays it so real. People just get gunned down. Pop.
Yeah, man.
Done. That's it. This movie doesn't mess around, and it feels very real. It feels, obviously it's a movie, and it's stylized, but it feels real. Like when the stuntmen turn this car, you see them turn the car. It's not a big cut. When people get killed, they go down quick. The biggest part I don't like is Larry's throat slitting, because just shoot him in the heart. I don't know. It just seems I'm gonna slit this guy's throat, and I'm gonna hang outside of a busy crime scene with a guy whose throat is jutted open.
It's just gushing.
Yeah, that's not
it's just gushing.
I don't know.
And Larry was injured before that. So Larry just takes all the losses, you know?
Yeah.
Larry was injured before that. And you can tell that Deirdre, she thinks Larry is cool. Mm-hmm. Larry is a guy who cooks breakfast for the team, for Christ's sake, man. You know? Because he's the driver, and he's not necessarily an expert murderer like everyone else. But Larry's the glue guy. You know?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, Larry recognizes that, hey, you know what? The case is really the friends that we made along the way, guys. It's Larry.
I blended this movie with Mission Impossible in my head, because Jean Reno's in that as well. And he was also in The Professional. Oh my gosh. But I kept thinking that the Cranberries were going to be playing when De Niro and Jean Reno were at the cafe at the end. Because that's the song that plays at the end of Mission Impossible when Ving Rhames and Tom Cruise are at the cafe.
Right.
So for some reason, I was like, why aren't the Cranberries playing? This is weird.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
How did Deirdre get a job as that bartender in that bar where we first meet De Niro, and De Niro's just going around the building, leaving guns, scoping everything out. Jean Reno walks right in. Larry's hanging out, drinking a beer already. So it's, how did she get a job there? Is that owned by the IRA?
Well, simply put, when De Niro demands, I want $100,000 for me and everyone else on the team, she makes a 3-minute phone call. Yeah, okay, cool. So these people have money. you know what I mean?
My favorite sideline of this movie, Norbert, is when she makes that call and he goes, for the rest of the team too. And then she goes, yeah, I figure that was implied.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So she knew exactly what he wanted. And I like that he kind of explained it to her. She's like, I got it. I already took care of it. It's fine.
Yeah.
I love that.
Deirdre's competent. Deirdre knows what time it is, man. She does. And so how does she get that job? Who's to say the IRA does not just own a French coffee shop? Because why not?
True. It's just an interesting meet. But it tells you about the characters. It's a neat way to set up who everybody is. I love it. Mm-hmm. I dig it. And then they eat sandwiches and drink coffee together.
And then eat sandwiches and drink coffee. And then, you know, yeah, so did you murder 10 people? Yeah, I did, actually. Oh, yeah, that's great. So what's in the case?
What's in the case?
And it never, and to the credit of this movie, it doesn't even do the Pulp Fiction thing where the case opens and you just see the Ark of the Covenant inside. Mm-hmm. No one cares what's in the case. Yeah. No one cares. Is Deirdre okay? De Niro? Oh, snap. He works for the CIA, actually. I never left.
It's not Zed Soul in the case. So what was weird is, at the end, there's peace talks because Seamus, whatever's in the case that they get causes peace talks. And Seamus was a terrorist, correct, trying to prevent that.
Right. I think we're left to assume that whatever was in the case is just going to be weapon of mass destruction.
Got it.
Because at that time, bombings were happening.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever was in that case was the big boom.
Isn't that the plot of Blown Away?
Oh, my God. That's another, you know what?
You suggested that, Norbert. You said you wanted to do that. Didn't you? Was that you?
You know, I'm going to tell you honestly, that leads into what I wanted to do with you, man. Accents and De Niro impressions. Because Tommy Lee Jones doing an Irishman is just so left field, man.
Yeah.
Blown Away is a movie that I watch and I laugh, and I'm not supposed to laugh because it's serious. And people are being murdered horrifically. But then Tommy Lee Jones, it's been a long time, eh, Liam? Oh, good to see you, Liam.
And then Brad Pitt in The Devil's Own with his accent.
Right. And Snatch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was perfect.
The iconic gypsy accent. Oh, fight for her. Yeah, fight for her.
That's me, Ma. Good evening.
Periwinkle Blue.
Yeah. Your mom. It's a dag.
Oh, man.
I just watched. This is why these. Oh, sorry. Go for it.
I was going to say, this is why these people get paid the big bucks. Because I can do a very limited fake Irish accent, but Tom Cruise. Oh, my God. Tom Cruise in the movie with him and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, Far and Away.
Yeah. Just they pull these accents off, man, and it's great. You know, it's not like Scarlet Witch in
I'm glad they dropped that. Yeah.
It was great in WandaVision because even Catherine Hahn is like, so where's your accent now? You know?
So meta. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I dig it. I just watched Wild Mountain Time, and it's a fun movie with Emily Blunt and Jamie Dornan. Emily Blunt just sells the hell out of this film, but Christopher Walken does an Irish accent, and it goes in and out, and it received a lot of flack for it. But I loved it. I was like, Christopher Walken's doing an Irish accent right now. And it's beautiful. And this is a weird story. So I watched Patriot Games when I was 10.
Nice.
And in Patriot Games, there's this scene where this guy gets killed by like an undercover agent, but she's posing as a prostitute. And before he gets killed, he's like, you ain't gonna make me wear a rubber, are ya? And as a 10-year-old kid, I just would say that all the time in that a horrible accent to people. I was like I would say it all the time. I didn't quite. A feral little Mark running around quoting Patriot Games at 10, 11 years old and with an Irish accent. That was my youth, Norbert.
Well, all right. So let's see what you got, brother. Let's see what you got. Ready?
What?
I'm going to be Deirdre.
Oh, no, we're not doing this.
I'm going to be Deirdre, and you're going to be Seamus, all right? I'm going to set you up. Ready? Why'd you have to kill Larry? And you're going to give me, oh, Larry is it. You're going to give me your best, oh, Larry. Oh, wait, no. I'm going to be Deirdre, and you're going to be Seamus.
I can't do it, man.
All right, ready? Why'd you have to kill Larry?
I don't know.
Oh, Larry is it.
Oh, Larry is it.
All right.
If I can shoot.
All right. Okay. Give what? Okay, here. Oh, Larry, is it? You ready? Why'd you have to kill Larry?
I can't do it, man. I would need to go back. I would need to get into a time machine, go hang out. So whenever I hung out with all the Irish guys in Korea when we lived out there, I would leave that weekend quoting some of their phrases. But it's been way too long. And also, the people, I've been to Belfast a couple times, and they like me. So I don't want to. I don't want to annoy him out there.
You're gregarious. You're the greatest man alive, man.
Oh.
There were great times when we would go to the bar in Korea and just the Irish dudes I would hang out with. Oh, Norbert, what's the crack? I love that. What's the crack? I love it.
Patrick was from Belfast, and he gave me this bar crawl to do when I went out there, and we had a great time. But I remember when I first met Patrick, his accent, his accent just threw me for a loop. I was so intimidated by him. And then eventually I got to know him, and I would just put him in headlocks. I love that accent. I love that place. Oh, man. Dig it.
All right. What about this one? Vincent will sort you out. Maybe you can get Vincent. Vincent will sort you out. Vincent.
Do you want to hear my Michael Caine impersonation? This is how bad I am with impersonations. She was only 16. Like, that's my Michael Caine. I'm horrible with impersonations. You're about to blow the bloody... Wait. You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. I can't do it. I can't... I've lost it, Norbert. I cannot do accents.
What about your De Niro, man? What's in the case?
Oh, man. You talking to me? You talking to... I can't do it.
What's the call of the boathouse at Hanford?
Man.
What's the call of the boathouse at Hanford? Come on, you got it, baby.
What? What's the color of the boat in Hanford? No, who is that? It's a guy from Brooklyn right there. Oh, that's bad. I think I can do a Bobcat Goldthwait. That's about all I can do. This man's all jerk. Yeah.
I'm a sweet jerk.
That's it. That's all I could do.
Oh, snap, son.
Yeah, but sorry, listeners. My accents are horrible, just to give you all a heads up. But Norbert,
you guys got to watch this movie, folks. Practice your accents. Go ahead.
Three favorite moments from this movie?
So, again, why'd you have to kill Larry? Oh, Larry, is it? I don't know why that stays with me. I don't know why. I love that. And I'll tell you right now why that part is great. Because I think there is the subtext that she and Seamus used to sleep together. I think so. I think there's absolutely that subtext in that particular scene. And that's why this movie is so good. It's just, there are threads that you can pick up and go with. And I think that, oh, Larry, is it? He's like, really? You give a shit about Larry?
Everyone loved Larry. He was the glue.
Larry was the glue, man. Larry made Bangers and Mash. Larry was a good cat.
I think my third favorite moment is when Seamus has De Niro dead to rights. It's like, you stupid shit. Wait, what? I just did a Brooklyn accent for Northern Irish. But he calls him stupid, and because he's gonna kill him, he has him dead to rights. But then Jean Reno pops up out of nowhere and kills him. And I was like, yeah. Right. But then Vincent falls, and I go, no. But then he's drinking coffee, listening to the Cranberries, and I'm like, yeah! So that's my three.
I've never been so happy to see him alive. Agreed. And he's usually the bad guy or a misunderstood sociopath with a heart of gold, like in The Professional.
This is for Matilda.
Yeah.
Everyone! Yeah.
The kiss. Gregor wanted to kiss. The rations made it. The rations. That's my bad Jean Reno. Yeah, that one's really bad.
All right, what's your number two?
Okay. Number two, what's the color of the boathouse at Hanford? Huh? What? What's the color of the boathouse at Hanford? You son... It just chokes him because he wants to murder Sean Bean, since Sean Bean is not only incompetent, but almost got him killed.
Yeah.
And endangered Precious Larry. At the same time.
Yeah, don't mess with Precious Larry.
I ambushed you with a coffee cup. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great scene, man. And to the movie's credit, this movie says, you know what? We're actually not going to kill Sean Bean. Spoiler alert.
I love it. They originally wanted him to die. Like, he gets picked up by a car as he's leaving and he's dead. And they wanted the same thing for Deidre, too, but they cut that out, too.
Deleted scene.
Yep.
Deleted scene on the DVD. That would have been so dark.
Oh, man. They just come with us if you want to die. All right. So my number two is when Jean Reno or Vincent talks to his buddy from high school, or so he says. And then when it comes time to knock him out, he's like, you do it, Sam. I couldn't live with myself.
He's such a good human being, yes. He doesn't want to punch his friend in the face.
So Sam just goes and Jack knocks him unconscious. That's just a good bit right there. And Sam's like, I got you. Like, it's cool. Like, he didn't even give him a look. He's like, I got it. It's cool. I dig it. It's fine.
Okay, so within your Florida bouncer past, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did Sam knock this guy out so quickly? Like, what's the move?
It looked like he had the butt of his gun and just hit him right in the temple.
Yeesh.
Right? Yeah, he skull cracked him.
Oof. Yikes.
Yeah.
The you more know, you know, folks.
One time, I was standing at the door bouncing, and there was some guy who was mad at me from earlier night, and he went to take a punch at me, but he was so drunk he missed and just kind of flew past me. And then he had already thrown himself in the bar, like, out of the bar, so that I was just like, come on, man. I ripped off his wristband, and then that was it. That was my
you
life.
Win. Perfect.
Yes, it's fatality.
Okay, so I got the color of the boathouse. I got Olaria.
What's the color of the boathouse? Wait, no, what was that? I don't even know what that accent was.
Which one?
I just went, what's the color of the boathouse?
Lower East Side Manhattan.
What's the color of the boathouse? Wait.
Okay. Look. I don't do my New York accent often because, you know, I teach English, you know, I have traveled, you know, so I do the code switching, you know, but every once in a while you get the accent, you know, and then, you know, somebody says, you know, let's go to the park, you know, say, what do you want to do in a park? You know, man, you know, we can drink a couple of beers, you know, we might try to pick up a couple of girls. You know,
forget about it.
You know, and you know, that's even different from, you know, Staten Island. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? We go out there, you know, cats be like, nah, man. You know what I'm saying? See, accents, it happens. Affectations.
I can't do any of them.
Yeah. So De Niro, you know, hey, what are you doing tonight? Hey, you know, I might go down to Cat's Deli, you know, get a bagel, you know, go check out the Rangers, you know. You know, Nick's supposed to be playing at the Garden. You know, I think they won 3 in a row over there. You know,
head over to Tribeca.
Get the film festival going over here. All
right, what's your favorite scene in this movie, Norbert?
Oh man, life is good, brother. I'm always glad to do this with you.
What's your favorite? Wait, the scene where Sam just gets Ronin explained to him.
Exactly. You know,
I know what you're talking about.
You know,
but you just actually helped me and had a fake surgery. That was some gooey special effects right there. Now pull it. Make sure you get a hold of it before you pull it out. I'm gonna pass out now if you don't mind.
That is my favorite scene because De Niro has been gut shot. He's in spectacular pain. He declines painkillers and then just. So this is how you dig a bullet out of my stomach. And just details it, man. Get the bullet. Get the bullet. Make sure you got it. Use the gauze.
Careful.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'm going to pass out now.
Hand me that coffee and a sandwich. Take that sandwich and put it on my wound.
It's impossible. You can't hold out forever. You can't. Nobody can hold out forever.
Oh,
nobody,
man.
Nobody can.
All right, so number one, huh? It's got to be De Niro blowing up the guy with the rocket launcher because I just kept hoping that he would shoot it backwards, like in the Army Now. Imagine that, Norbert, the most capable human being on the planet.
Yeah,
you have this chase scene, and he just shoots the rocket backwards, blows up a villa.
You gotta understand, man.
Suck on this one time.
You saying that the number one scene in the movie is De Niro with a rocket launcher is so Florida. I love you.
It's so Florida. When we went to elementary school, that's what they gave us. Here's your nothing rocket launcher and your bath salts. Get out of here, kid.
All right. Over there, watch that. Watch that gator. Gator gonna come. Gator gonna come. That's what the rocket launcher for. Go gator.
If you blow it up, we'll cook it. Oh man!
I've heard gator's good. I meant to try it in Vietnam.
Yeah, I mean, it tastes like a not as good chicken.
Yeah.
There's really no point in eating it.
Yeah, gamey chicken.
It's pretty interesting how you get used to gators out there when you live in Florida. Now, obviously, I wasn't riding them, but you just see it and you're like, oh, okay, cool. I see you. And then I went canoeing one time, man. I swear, just a 10-footer went right underneath.
I believe it.
And one time, I don't know what happened. Three of us went canoeing. I don't know what they thought. They're like, Mark, you can just take one by yourself. And it was upriver. So I'm in a canoe by myself upriver. I'm a good canoer, but there's only so much you can do going upriver by yourself in a canoe. So when I was getting situated, it kind of took me to the side and I started paddling. And I just crammed right into the shore where a gator was just sitting. And it went flying. Like, it could have launched itself at me, but it was so scared of me, it went somewhere else. But, man, that was a really scary moment, Norbert.
Well, the PGA Tour Twitter account, lately they've been posting a lot of videos of just golfers and gators just interacting with each other. So you would enjoy that.
It's a Florida thing, man.
It is. It is. They are literally dinosaurs that still roam the earth.
I love it. So, hey, final thoughts about this movie before we get out of here.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, and all the ships at sea, Ronin. They don't make them like this anymore. No CGI, no over-explaining. This is a great date pick. This is a pick if you want an action thriller from the mind of John Frankenheimer. It's literally the last De Niro movie that's good. De Niro. You know, there was a time when De Niro pictures were a thing. This is the last good De Niro picture, period. Full stop.
They don't make them like they used to.
They don't. And they definitely don't make them like this anymore.
That car chase at 16, it still blows me away now, but at 16, man, in the theater, watching that car chase, unbelievable. Doesn't get any better than that.
No, not at all. I don't agree with your Fast and Furious PlayStation 4 CGI cutscene car chase, folks. This is what you need to be watching.
Right. They don't make them like they used to.
Folks. No, there's nine of these Fast and Furious, folks. How many times do you need to see a car drive into an office building that transforms into an aircraft carrier? For God's sake, Ronin, people.
You're a great guy, Norbert, but you just attacked something near and dear to me.
Generational differences, my friend. What can I tell
you? You don't understand. Listen, trust me, man. When it comes to Ronin and Fast and Furious, they're not even close.
It's about family.
Where's my Corona? All right, well, thank you for joining me, man. This was great.
I love you, man.
Ditto. I dissuaded you, man.
What's the call at a boathouse at Hanford?
Well, thank you for joining me, man. This was great. All right, so for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, and for Norbert Morvan, the what's the call at the boathouse in the Hamptons?
That's Long Island. That's not even the right country, you crazy bastard.
This is Movies, Films, and Flicks. We'll see you next week.